Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaks to a joint meeting of Congress today.
Republicans support Netanyahu and Israel in the war in Gaza. Democrats are divided and increasingly critical.
This occasion matters politically in both countries, and NPR's Greg Myrie is watching from Tel Aviv. Hi there, Greg.
Hi, Steve.
What does the Israeli Prime Minister hope to gain?
Well, the view from here is Netanyahu is going to one of the few places he can find support, which is among Republicans in the U.S. Congress. But even in Washington, he'll face critics among the Democrats. A growing number plan to boycott the speech, and street protests against him are also expected. You know, on the flight to Washington, Netanyahu had a baseball cap emblazoned with the words "total victory," which sums up his belief, often stated, that Hamas must be completely destroyed in Gaza. That's likely to be a central theme in his speech. But there is ongoing pressure, including from President Biden, to work out a ceasefire with Hamas.
Okay, so he'll surely meet with President Biden during this visit. What about the people who are still running for president, Vice President Harris and former President Trump?
Yeah, he plans to meet all three and all come with some complications. You know, Biden is increasingly frustrated with Netanyahu over the huge number of Palestinian civilian deaths. So there could be some tensions when they meet Thursday. Regarding Kamala Harris, the vice president traditionally sits behind a foreign leader who's addressing Congress. But Harris has cited a scheduling conflict, though she is expected to meet privately with him tomorrow. And the Trump-Netanyahu relationship soured after the 2020 U.S. election. Netanyahu recognized Biden as the winner, and this greatly annoyed Trump, who falsely claims the voting was rigged.
Well, how are Israelis responding to the news that President Biden has stopped running against Trump this time?
Yeah, here in Israel, political leaders and the media acknowledge Biden's unwavering support for decades, and they say this tradition among many, but not all, U.S. presidents may actually end when Biden leaves the White House. Biden still talks about backing Israel a half century ago in its 1973 war against Egypt and Syria. This was Biden's first year in the Senate, and it clearly shaped his views on the Middle East. But as this current war grinds on, even Biden has expressed some criticism. He wants this ceasefire we mentioned, and he wants an Israeli plan for Gaza after the fighting stops, and Israel still hasn't produced this so-called day-after plan.
Well, how does Biden's handling of the Middle East fit into his larger foreign policy record of a presidency that we can now see the end of?
Yeah, Steve, I think three foreign wars have defined a good deal of not only his foreign policy record, but even his presidential legacy overall. The first was Afghanistan and the messy U.S. withdrawal and the Taliban's return to power. Then came Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Biden generally got high marks for coordinating a strong Western response, though now Republicans are pushing back, saying the military aid is too expensive and the war is largely a stalemate. And his embrace of Israel in the war faces this growing criticism from some in his own party, liberal voters, opposition in many parts of the world. So Biden won't be able to dictate outcomes in these conflicts in the final months of his term, but he does have a consequential foreign policy record, and it's been driven by his desire to see the U.S. play a leading role on the global stage.
NPR's Greg Myrie is in Tel Aviv. Greg, thanks for your insights, as always. Good to hear from you.
Sure thing, Steve.